From Storyflow, this is your daily audio brief for July 17th. Quick one from Theo. 5 tech stories from overnight, ordered by how much they made me sit up. Let's get into it. First, from IEEE Spectrum AI, how to make an invisible drone. The clever part isn't the propeller shape, it's the spin rate. By whirling at 1525 hertz, the drone blurs into a translucent smear, exploiting the eye's 100 MMS integration window so the solid frame fuses with whatever's behind it. What makes this version stand out is that the whole geometry was fed into an optimizer that minimized a perceptual similarity metric while still satisfying the physics of flight. The algorithm shuffled carbon fiber rods, batteries, and counterweights until the components lined up in a way that left almost no visual overlap as it spun. Control comes from a single motor. Tiny speed pulses timed each rotation steer the craft, while overall thrust handles altitude. The result is a passively stable, single-motor platform that can translate in any direction without conventional control surfaces. Right now, it's tethered to an optical tracking rig, but the team thinks the same principle could launch it outdoors, maybe even with a camera mounted on the spinning body to capture a full 360-degree view for navigation. Next. Second, from the decoder. Kimi's open model K3 nears GPT 5.6 Sol and Fable 5 while signaling the end of super cheap Chinese AI. Kimi's new model, K3, is a multimodal open-weight model with 2.8 trillion parameters and a massive 1 million token context. In internal benchmarks, it's surprisingly close to GPT 5.6, Sol and Claude Fable 5, even outperforming Opus 4.8 and GLM 5.2 in some areas. What's more interesting is that K3 is significantly pricier than its predecessor, signaling a potential shift in the market. The full weights for K3 are set to be released by July 27th, giving us a chance to see exactly how it stacks up against the competition. This could mark the end of the era of super cheap Chinese AI models. As Kimi's move suggests, a new pricing strategy is emerging. Up next, third, from MIT Technology Review. AI. The risk of weather data sabotage is rising. I've been thinking about how the whole weather forecast chain is suddenly looking a lot more fragile. It all starts with the raw observations from stations, airport sensors, utility meters, the usual network. Those readings get fed into big models like the ECMWF system, which normally cross-check each measurement against physics and nearby stations, so a single glitch usually gets filtered out. But the recent Paris CDG incident showed that a simple local tampering, someone apparently heating a sensor, can swing a prediction market enough for a $20,000 win, and it slipped past the automated checks until a climate nonprofit flagged it. What worries me now is the shift toward AI-driven forecasting that leans heavily on raw data without that classic assimilation safety net. If an attacker nudges many stations just enough to stay plausible, the coordinated bias could slip through, especially when forecasts need to be out in minutes. That opens doors not just for gamblers, but for traders trying to move renewable energy prices, or even actors who might mute an early warning alarm. The fix isn't just more algorithms, it's tighter security at the stations, faster anomaly detection, and keeping a human eye on the loop. Adding explainability and adversarial robustness tools to the AI pipeline helps spot odd patterns, while a clear chain of accountability, from the on-site operators to the forecast centers, makes sure any weirdness gets communicated quickly. In short, as we hand more decisions to data-driven models, we need to harden every link in the weather data chain before the stakes get too high. And then, fourth, from the decoder. Netflix's 300 AI productions show how fast the technology is spreading through entertainment. So I was reading about how Netflix is using AI in a pretty significant way, about 300 productions so far. Most of it is in post-production, which is interesting. They're using it to speed up the process and cut costs. For example, in the docuseries The American Experiment, they used AI to produce 17 minutes of footage, and it was done twice as fast as it would have been otherwise, at half the cost. This is pretty notable because it shows how quickly AI is becoming a part of the entertainment industry. And it's not just about cutting costs either. The savings are likely going to be used to fund even more content. Netflix has a huge budget, $20 billion, and it sounds like they're looking to use AI to make the most of it. It's also worth thinking about what this means for the future of entertainment production. If AI can really speed up the process and cut costs, that could open up a lot of new possibilities for creators. We'll have to see how it all plays out, but for now, it's definitely interesting to see how Netflix is using AI to change the way they make content. Next. Fifth, from The Decoder. Linus Torvalds tells AI critics in the Linux kernel community to fork off. Linus Torvalds just dropped a pretty clear signal on the kernel mailing list. He's all in for AI-assisted development. When the community started squabbling over Sashiko, the Linux Foundation's AI-powered code reviewer, he pushed back hard, saying Linux isn't an anti-AI project and that he'll very loudly ignore anyone trying to steer people away from it. The tone was unmistakable. He's not looking to ban tools, he's looking to let developers experiment and see what sticks. In short, the gatekeepers stepping aside, letting the AI experiment run its course without the usual pushback. Up next, six from Towards Data Science. One RAG pipeline, four very different PDFs, same four bricks, every answer typed and cited. I wired the same four upgraded bricks, embedding generator, vector store, LLM, and citation formatter into one RAG pipeline and tossed it at four wildly different PDFs. A research paper, a NIST standard, a technical report, and a document with a busted table of contents. The pipeline didn't flinch. It indexed each file, pulled relevant chunks, and let the language model answer questions while automatically inserting precise citations. What surprised me most was how consistently clean the answers were, even when the source PDF was messy or non-standard, proving the components meshed together more smoothly than I'd expected. And then, seventh, from Towards Data Science. Analog AI is back, but can it survive its own noise? I've been thinking about why analog chips are popping up again. Instead of binary gates, they let currents and voltages flow through tiny continuous time circuits, so the math happens in the physics itself. That means a single chip can evaluate a whole neural layer in one sweep, cutting the clock cycles you'd need on a digital core. The snag that killed the idea the first time around was noise. The tiny fluctuations that make analog signals drift. Engineers tried to hide it, but the error accumulated and the models fell apart. The new twist is to embrace that jitter. They inject a controlled version of the same noise into the training loop, so the network learns to tolerate the exact imperfections it will face in hardware. The result is a kind of self-calibrating analog AI that can run at a fraction of the power of conventional GPUs, while staying accurate enough for real-world tasks. It's not a silver bullet, but it shows the old physics-first approach can coexist with modern deep learning tricks. That's it for today. Tomorrow morning, whatever the night brings, stay curious. If this saved you time, the full feed is free at storyflow.com.